At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Everyone, thanks for listening to the Western Hunting Hub podcast. In this episode, I got my buddy Danny on. He's been on previous episodes, and we are going on an elk hunt here tomorrow or next 2 days. So just wanted to do some final prep work for that and looking forward to some of those final things I got to do, get on the road and get ready to do some elk hunting in Colorado. So enjoy just us chatting about some final gear, things that we like, we don't like, and so on. Thanks.
All right, we are 2 days away, really, from getting some over the counter archery elk action in, and it feels like it's crunch time. I've been planning and prepping a lot of stuff, but I feel like the food prep, the gear prep is just a pain in the butt. Like, it just is never ending. So we've never really hunted together, just talked hunting. So I'm pretty excited to get out and do some hunt together.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Can't wait.
Yeah. And you've been
very cool here. So that's a good sign.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've been, tell me your stat the other day. How many different animals and how many different countries?
Oh boy. Let's see. I've hunted most continents now. I couldn't give you a count on the animals, probably 15 or so. Africa. I've done 3 hunts in Europe now. Did Mongolia Ibex last year. So I'm actually really looking forward to just hunting around home and some elk hunting and hunting with a good friend. So,
yeah. And that few of those were just in the last year and a half, like South America, Europe, Mongolia.
Yeah. I forgot to throw South America in there. Yeah. I've been all over the globe in the past year. It's been awesome, Clint, but all those adventures have been, you know, by myself, which is okay, but there's just a lot of mental prep that goes into that, the travel. I mean, you can't beat it, but I'm actually very much looking forward to a big break from the international stuff this year. So
yeah definitely. And you said it's been cool there. I've been looking at the weather. It seems like it's tough to tell the weather exactly where we're going, but what have nights been like? It seems like it's the forecast kind of looks like it's going to be warmer, but what have nights have been like and days been like temperature wise?
Pretty much it's felt like mid September temps lately. So like when I let the dogs out this morning, first thing I did was throw on a hoodie, and I actually put socks on this morning. So that tells you it's getting a little cooler.
Yeah.
It is like completely perfect archery weather right now. You know, as the crow flies, where me and you were going hunting, maybe 20 miles from here.
Yeah.
So it gives me a good idea what it's going to be like up in camp. I imagine it's about 15 degrees cooler than it is right now, which would put it about mid 30s up there right now.
Oh, okay.
Which I would imagine that should get some elk talking.
Yeah, that That's really good to know, because I keep debating, and we'll get to gear in a minute, but like the one of the gear items that I try and figure out is my sleep system. Like I always am cold. I'm always cold. And so I have a 15 degree bag always for this season, but I have a liner, a merino wool liner, and I was trying to think, do I ditch that liner? Because it's a one, it works really nice when it's really warm. I'll just throw that on because I always have to have something on me while I'm sleeping. Or do I just ditch that? Save it's a pound, so save a pound and just have my bag. Mid-30s is right on that edge for me. I don't know. Now I've got to think about
Yeah,
that. Really got to
I
think about
agree. I kind of
that.
had the same 15-degree bag. I'm not gonna do a liner, but I was thinking about the liner, and I'm just gonna go with a poofy down lightweight jacket instead.
There we go. That's what I'll do.
So
Yeah. That and I have to have my feet are just what suffer. And you know why it is? Is because my there's no fix to this period, because they don't make a pads long enough for me. So yeah, I buy the long pad, but my feet hang over just that little bit, so I don't get the insulation value from over my feet, so my feet are always cold, which that's the worst. That's the only part I don't want to be cold while I'm sleeping.
sure,
But
that's never comfortable.
no. So the purpose of this episode is just also to get excited about what we got going, to go through just a couple of those things that we could go pick up in the last minute, share some of those little gear items that we're both thinking about and having. Yeah, just one of those first things was kind of that physical preparation. And I definitely have not had, I've been not doing a program. There was a free membership for Mountain Tough, and I thought, all right, that'd be great. Got that and hated it because it's working out in my basement or a gym, and I hated it. So I literally was in the middle of a workout and I said, screw this. I grabbed my pack and I went outside and just started hiking, and I did nothing except my day-to-day is physical. It's just nonstop moving. So I already have the limberness and all of that, but I grabbed my pack and just started hiking, and 30 days ahead of time, and then just adding a little weight as we go, and worked up to 80 pounds, and I feel pretty good about it. I mean, I'm not in impeccable shape, but I'm really, really glad I added some weight. I can't imagine doing no weight at all, and not feeling that pressure on your hips. The A lot of weight starts to add like that numbness to the outside of your thighs as you're hiking and burning some calories. But what have you kind of been doing? Because I know it's just being active is what you've been doing, but what's been your thought process about your physical prep for packing something out?
Kind of the same thing. I've been running around with a pack, not near as much as I should. I kind of failed at that this summer. Last summer, I ran every single day prepping for that Mongolia hunt. And this summer, honestly, I just didn't feel like doing that. So, what I mainly did this summer was watch my diet, and I was able to shed a lot of weight down to where I want to be as an elk hunter. And then just going up above 10,000 feet a couple different times and getting some miles under my belt with a pack on. And I was thinking about this yesterday, and it's very fortunate just to live in the mountains. Like, I don't know how these Midwest guys,
Going
you
from
can do all
zero or 1,000
the
feet.
training. Yeah, I got buddies coming from 150 foot
Oh
elevation
my gosh.
to hunt out west here in a couple of weeks, and I just don't even know how to explain to them how you can prep for that. Like, so just living where, I mean, me and you both are mountain people. Like, that's a huge advantage.
Yeah.
Just day to day breathing higher elevation air helps out a lot. But it's lucky that I can just run up to 10, 12,000 feet and I can just be completely fine. I can run around all over the place. So I'm sure those years are numbered, but yeah, I would say the main thing that I'm happy with this year is just having a good, cut out all the crap food for the summertime and get your weight where you want it to be, because that's extra pounds you don't want to be carrying around ever, correct?
And where we're going is not high elevation stuff, so that's pretty doable. I did put my dad, because he's coming from like 2,000 feet, I did put him on an altitude advantage from Wilderness Athlete. He's never had an issue, but I thought, why not? You take this anyway, and then just helps deliver more oxygen to the bloodstream, however that works. But that's what people would need, is just some kind of, if you're going to 10,000 plus and you're coming from 1,000, that's gonna kill you.
It takes some time to get acclimated, I would imagine.
That'd be brutal. When I first moved to Glenwood Springs, it was 3 months. I remember we lived in a triplex, a South Grand, and I'd walk up the stairs because we in second story apartment on this triplex, and I'd get inside the door and just like, I gotta sit down. And at that time I was 25 years old and really good shape, so I was like, this is stupid. I was like, 3 months down the road, I was like, okay, I'm starting to feel really good. But I remember that just being a weird thing of I can't breathe. But so another thing we're gonna have to figure out is just kind of hunt styles and figuring out plans. And definitely I think people will want to work on those sorts of I think hunting partners really should have those things figured out well before they decide if they're hunting partners. But I think you and I are pretty well laid back hunters and decision making. I would think that we'll be able to actually make a pretty darn good team in figuring that stuff out. But and then as we're hiking our way in, I thought that'd be a great time to put a game plan together of how should we approach the ground? How should we, what do you like to do for calling and so on? Just kind of work through those things. And since we're not spending much time together besides that hike in, so that probably would be a great time to bust through some of that stuff, I was thinking.
Oh, absolutely. For me, this hunt's just, it's going to be a learning thing and a teamwork thing. I mean, I think it would be completely awesome to see your dad come out of there with a bull. I think that would be the main goal of the trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, just hunting together. Hunting elk is always a chess match, and I'm always second guessing myself. I've been doing it my whole life, and I've had some successful hunts, but I've had a lot of unsuccessful hunts, and it's one animal that I don't know if I'll ever figure out. So when you're, chatting with your buddies, other elk hunters, I mean, anything you can learn, which can be every single day you hunt. Becomes beneficial. So
yeah, the one factor that we can't control is the one I'm the most nervous about, and that's the hunting pressure. Just that's the one right there that will just mess things up. I mean, we're coming off of a full moon. Maybe today's the full moon, I can't remember, but we'll be coming the start off of a full moon. But like you said there, it's cool. Early season, I've really had a lot of success, and I like that early season just because those bulls aren't grouped up. Middle of the month, I would think would be awesome. But I also, in Colorado, I don't want to come Labor Day weekend and hunt that necessarily when you got muzzleloader opening. Just the overlap of muzzleloader and archery, I don't want to just add another, I don't know how many, let's just say a third or a quarter, another quarter, 25% hunters to the mix. And have to deal with that. But so gear wise, let's dive into this. I have to have a list, and I've shared my list before over and over again. It's changed and adapted a lot, but it's a complex list, meaning that it's got check boxes that can include your weight on everything. I stole this off of XO Mountain Gear's page because I thought it was pretty cool. I never use it to the fullest where you check the box and it adds up the weight, but more so just add some things in there and then I weigh my pack. And so far things have been really, really good as far as getting under 40 pounds. And so that's the goal with food and water hiking in. I want to be under 40. So that's my kind of where I like to be. But yeah, what did you look at my list?
Yeah, I went through it. Very similar to what I got going. Mine's a little different. I just do an Apple note, but and always changing it. Share it
Yeah.
with a couple buddies, so they're probably getting updates frequently this week because I'm changing it so much. But
Oh yeah. Yeah. So pack like the
yeah, go
pack
ahead.
I was just gonna dive into like one of the sections, like the pack and accessories pieces of that. What are you well, you got a new EXO, which all three of us would be running EXO Mountain Gear pack, so nice work. But what are you gonna be running with just in that category? Because I had things like pack cover, which is a must for these kind of hunts, just because there's typically not room in a tent or under a tarp. That's got my rifle strap that's on my bow, my pack, my sidearm. Doing a little switch up this year. I'm gonna carry my 44, and I got some loads that I know will work for a bear. And I'm not gonna carry my bow in actually at all, because all I have is a bear tag, and you and dad have elk tags, so I'm not carrying a bow. But yeah, what do you have like pack wise and accessories that wise?
Well, obviously I got my kill kit, which that is something I'm always questioning. I'm a knife person, and I think I always carry one or two extra knives. I know that's extra weight, but that's, I don't know, it's just something I can't leave behind. I always carry paracord. One thing I was going through last night, my first aid kit, and that was one thing I wanted to talk about. Just
Oh, yeah.
obviously we all carry a first aid kit. Last night, the first time I actually really dug through it and look, I got some knowledge on if I need to use it, what's in here, kind of a thing.
This.
But then, my water treatment stuff, that's always a head scratcher as well. I do carry a little extra, I think. I carry the Steripen, iodine tablets, and I carry a filter. And that's probably a little excessive, but I watched my buddy get Girardia on an elk hunt one time, so that kind of taught me, or his mistake taught me that lesson. So I try not to mess around with, I don't want to be dealing with any dirty water. So what else? The jet boil, obviously, a huge tool for backpack hunting.
Yeah, let's dive into some of those. Let's look at, so as we're rummaging around, he and I Danny and I are both got our gear around us fiddling with it. So in my first aid kit, I feel like I got it pretty. It's my first aid slash emergency kit. I kind of base everything on the rule of threes, making sure that there is a way of three ways of signaling, three ways of starting a fire, three things in there somewhere in my pack to help me build a shelter. So I've got those three things, and that could be lighter, paracord, there's a tarp elsewhere. Or signaling, that could be fire as well. That could be a mirror. I've ditched my mirror this time. But in here, for emergency kit stuff, paracord, compass, the little jar of the sampler jar of pyro putty, I really like because it's a little dinky thing instead of the regular thing, so it's smaller. I take just a little bit of duct tape rolled up onto a little piece of cardboard, so then I don't have a whole lot there. My wife's an athletic trainer, so I have a pile of athletic tape. For blister care, I have two strips of KT tape because that stuff sticks like no other. And she gives me these little gel packet things or gel 1 inch by 1 inch patches. So then I can put that patch and KT tape over top. The other emergency thing, I have more than one Bic lighter. Also in here, the little Aqua tabs, super light and super simple. My backup batteries. So I take flashlight batteries, wrap them with electrical tape, and then I've got one extra rangefinder battery in there. I have my little kit that came with my sleeping pad. That's for repairing if I get a hole in the sleeping pad. I did add in, you know, those little free Cabela's multi-tools you get when you their member drive stuff. So I did throw one of those in because it's like, oh, that would be awesome how I could have a plier so that I never want to carry my full Gerber or Leatherman in there. So it's just a little multi-tool that has a saw and a scissors and a all the crap. I have this little sewing kit from probably 1970s, in case I need to sew on a button. So sew up somebody. I can sew you up. And then the other emergency stuff is a little package of all kinds of pills. Some Benadryl in case somebody has an allergic reaction, ibuprofen, some allergy pills, somebody's struggling with that. And then I gotta add in here aspirin. Aspirin's my one thing for in case I'm with anybody that has a heart issue, we can pop them an aspirin and maybe have some help. And then the big thing I added in this year is a tourniquet. I took a stop the bleed class and I really enjoyed that. I'm not a I don't always enjoy first aid trainings, but this one I thought was really good. To understand, like, oh, okay, we have a big old fat wound like that. The tourniquet's the way to go, and a windless tourniquet's is kind of the ticket with a roll of gauze. And with those, we can stop whatever bleeding. And then my typical first aid kit just has some wipes, triple antibiotic, a few band-aids, gauze pads, and that's about it. And all of that, got my scale right here. All of that is 1 pound exactly. 1 point, yeah.
Oh, nice.
So it's all pretty light. And even Kyle, I take out that multi-tool that brings it down to 13 ounces. But pretty doable little pack for my.
Yeah, that's a good hit.
Oh, I guess I do put
For
in,
sure.
I didn't put in here my repair tools. Normally those are in here, like some Allen wrenches and things, but I've already coordinated with Dad. I said, all right, I'm not bringing any tools because I'm not bow hunting, but if you have some, then we're good. So then try not to double up on all that kind of stuff because there's another few ounces that we can shave off.
Yeah, for sure.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
That's a good point right there that never even thought of, is maybe just get together who you're going with and eliminate, you know, three of you don't need to carry the same thing in if you only need one. Here's another an extra release I'm looking at right now.
Oh, for sure.
My bow. Just a couple things. You know, obviously things with equipment can go wrong. Quick little story. I saw a string of mules going up on a high country archery hunt last year while I was fishing. And on my way out, I started finding chunks of Hoyt bow on the trail. So that, just everybody listening, maybe tighten up all your screws before you head out on the trail. Make sure your bow's all, everything's tightened up, good to go. Because I know that guy's hunt was absolutely ruined by the time he got to camp and realized half his bow was missing. So
I remember you saying
that. Yeah.
Tell me.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a heart. That broke my heart. I felt horrible for him. I got InReach Mini. You know, don't use that very often, but you never know when you're going to have an emergency.
Yeah, no, that's something I don't have, and I'm glad you'll have just in case for whatever. That's something I will get in the future. I had one, but don't have it anymore. It was an older one. The
one thing I threw in the pile last night that I didn't want to take, but it's a little heavy, but is a power bank.
Oh yeah.
And mainly, man, this hit me yesterday. I'm really using a lot of battery when I'm messing around with my Onyx. So
yeah, I carry like
not to
two of them
all day or anything, obviously, but two power banks.
Yeah, I carry two of them. They are heavy, but I just don't like the idea of my battery being below like 30%. Because I do use it nonstop, and yeah, that's a must for me. I want to have some good charges, and I feel almost like that's my lifeline. I know where you text me from 10,500 feet yesterday, so I never want that to go away. I would be, the old timers would call me a giant pansy because I feel like I couldn't get out of cell service, but that's kind of my security right there, that if crap happens, I know where the last service was, I can get to it. Where we're going, I bet we climb up to the top of one of the hills and we're good. We're going to have some service. But yeah, that I almost need that on those backcountry hunts just for security. Or, and when I haven't had that, that's what that InReach is so wonderful for. But man, I use my Onyx like crazy during those, and I like to just keep my tracks on. I like to track that data and pay attention to what's going on, so I don't want to worry about battery life. Yeah, that's good. The water kit, I almost bought another one, the Katadyn one. It's like $100-some. It's a gravity bag. I really like that one. I've used it in the past, but I didn't want to spend a hunt. No, it was like $120, and so you just scoop up water, hang it in a tree, and that water comes out of there so fast. It's really, really kind of handy. So
that's neat.
Yeah, I just go with the Sawyer, but I have two Sawyers as a backup. And I did some of this water purification with my science classes in the past, where we had the kids filter water and everything. And these Sawyers, even though they're 20 bucks, they're 0.1 microns for filtration, and there's some of those pumps that are 0.2. You still can get viruses that are 0.1, but a good majority of the stuff is going to be filtered with this little Sawyer. So that, and then a big carry bag. So it's, I can carry, it's that 1 gallon Sawyer bag. I can carry a gallon of water back to camp. That's kind of nice. Cause then I just like to have some for water back there. So you can not mm-hmm. have to always have something on you, but I want to try, your SteriPen. See what that's like. The little, I've messed with one before, but man, there's something about just waving a magic wand in some water and expecting it to be good. It's a hard thing to overcome.
Yeah, I kind of have a hard time trusting that. I mean, I've read reviews and they're good, but there's no way I'm throwing a treatment tablet in as well, you know.
Yeah.
And filtering it. I mean, you know, just like I was telling you about my buddy, he was, so nobody wants to deal with that. So.
No. What are you carrying for water bottles or bladders or anything like that?
I hate bladders. I've had problems with them in the past, so I like to know like how much water, like I want to see it, how much water I have on me.
Yeah, me too.
I don't like when I think I have a half a bladder and I take that last sip and it's gone. So I'm doing a 50 ounce Nalgene and a 32 ounce Nalgene, carrying those in full. And then,
okay,
that's what I'll carry. You know, imagine the 50 is what I'll carry around while I'm hiking all day. Probably leave the 32 back at camp, but I know you don't drink a lot of water, but I have to when I'm hunting.
Yeah, so is my dad.
Like, I don't drink a lot of water all the time, but when I'm hunting, man, Jesus, I guzzle it. So my main concern is always the water and the food. Obviously, we're talking about that.
Yeah, and one of the we've been. You've been giving me water rain reports, which is good. If this were a drier year, I'd be really nervous, really, really nervous, because this is a brand new area and I don't know where that water is. I got springs marked. That was kind of a cool thing that Onyx has. You zoom in, you can start to see some of those springs. So I've got everyone marked in our area, but and out of some of those, they got to be active. I bet you there's going to be water in the roads. Or in some of the trails and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there was huge just puddles in the roads up on the flat tops yesterday, and they're filthy dirty, but there is water around. So
So I got two Nalgenes, and then something new, I ordered a couple of those hero packs for from Wilderness Athlete. They're just like your powder mix in a little flat like water bottle, like a it'd be probably a little, probably a 10 ounce water bottle. So instead of a crunchy disposable water bottle that I could use for like a dirty bed or dirty water bottle for dirty water where you can scoop that up, I got this. And so I'll drink from, mix my Wilderness Athlete in it and then drink out of that. And then one is a dirty bottle that I can use for scooping water if the water's gross and I don't want to dip my carry bag in there. And another one is just going to be what I mix my Wilderness Athlete in, period, because I don't want to put it in my, I always just mix that stuff in my regular Nalgene's and then it kind of gets funky after a little bit. Food. Oh, another thing I'm bringing, my dad and I are both bring in it, and we're not very high in elevation, but some boost oxygen. I think that's kind of, I've used that on a goat hunt and oh my gosh, just a quicker recovery for climbing a hill. So I don't know if I'll use it. I won't use it for that, but I've got some for dad to help him along.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Nothing sucks the wind out of you like hauling an elk quarter up a hill.
Yeah, exactly.
Got one of those.
The food stuff. This is the thing I'm just, it's not, it's okay. It's fun sort of, but man, I struggle with the food part. It's not my favorite thing. So, I have always had too much food with me in the past, and I always have too much. I've made notes from last year or year before of, I noticed I had too much food for hiking day because I didn't eat anything. Cause I was just, that was a hard physical day. Most of my food is a planned out to, you need to sit down and eat. So my meals, like I hate waking up and I don't want to turn on a jet boil right away. Like, because it's like when I wake up, I just want to just go hunt because that's the prime time to get where we need to go. So I always eat like a mid-morning meal, like 10 o'clock when things calm down. And if they don't ever calm down, then whatever. But there's always a minute in there for me to pull something out and just eat a bar or something. And then a mid-afternoon, the dead part of the day, that would be my actual lunch. And then that gets me all the way till evening. So when you get back to camp, you're almost like eating a late supper. So just shifting all of my meals back a few hours has helped to not be eating during those crucial times when you want to be hunting. Been a way
for sure.
Keep those calories up.
They're 10, but if I eat badly, I don't want to go sleep. I want to go hunt. Same with you, just like, you know, a cup of coffee or whatever. I can wait till 10:30 or something like that. I mean,
yeah.
You only get, what, 4 hours a day to hunt elk? Might as well take advantage of that time, you know?
Yeah. So I made a list. I've got meals for being back at the camper. I got meals for more truck hunting days. Say we pull out and we got to cover some ground, and I'm not going to eat a dehydrated meal or something like that when we've got a truck and a camper and all this like right there.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a nice, at least ham sandwich, have something like that. Or some fruit or something like that. So the prep stuff that I put together that took some time is some summer sausage and jerky. I even smoked some trout. I had a little bit of that left over. One of my favorite foods for the backcountry is that smoked salmon, the packages you can get. It is a superfood that just loads me with energy. So there's a love eating that. And then wheat thins are a little tougher of a cracker, so then I can scoop it up with that. I'm gonna just jump around. So I've got like on a hike in day, something that like would go bad, like a breakfast bagel, or I've got some like a breakfast burrito. That lunch is a summer sausage, because that I had bad summer sausage one time, and I don't trust that stuff anymore. I keep it to that was real bad. Real bad. I was not hunting at the time. We were living in Glenwood. We'd just come back. There was some summer sausage in our fridge. We had just come back from Sioux Falls visiting. There was nothing in our fridge. It was like, oh, there's a little something that's still good. Ate it. And I almost, at the checkout counter at Walmart, I almost grabbed that bag and ralphed everywhere. Yeah. So I don't trust summer sausage anymore. Yeah, and then
there's one food thing I'm trying.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm trying no meat going into this.
Really?
And this is very difficult to do, as everyone could imagine. But I'm just trying to get that carnivore smell off my breath for a few days before. I just think it could be an advantage closer to game. I don't know. But
never heard that one.
I've heard it. I've heard that one in the past. I've never tried it, but figured if I'm doing all this prep, why not try that? Try something different, you know? Can't be a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
So be a lot of pasta this week.
Yeah. Yeah, what else do you have in your meal prep meal list?
Kind of me and you were talking a little bit, you know, you're more of an eater when I hunt. I fast a lot, so I just got simple things. I got a couple Wilderness Athlete pack-out bars, a couple regular granola bars, some oatmeal, and then a couple Peak Refuel things for dinner. But pretty simple, man. I do bring a little candy, like some gummy bears. I don't know, just while you're sitting on water holes, passing time. For some reason, I think those are addicting while you're on water. Sunflower seeds, things like that. Anything to keep your mind occupied, I suppose, while you're out in the field.
How do you organize
that?
No,
my
like your do you like a day one Ziploc, a day two?
I used to do that. Now I just throw everything into a small dry bag, and I'll have two granola bars for the day, a small bag of trail mix, you know, prepackaged small ones. So I kind of just throw one in, you know, whatever I feel for each day. I don't like split them up day to day or anything like that, but I make sure not carry too little, and definitely try not to carry too much. A lot of my thought process is put some meat on the ground while you're up there. Then you're not going to be hungry anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I do separate it out day by day and try and individually package a bunch of stuff. And even down to like my pills for the day, like I figure, why would I want to stop my vitamin regimen and my glucosamine regimen, especially when I really, really need it. So in there, I separate out those vitamins, and then my sleep aids, because I need a sleep aid while I'm sleeping on the ground there. It just helps me have a lot better rest.
Absolutely.
And then after a tough day, a little Tylenol PM really, really doesn't hurt you for a few days. But my go-to peanut butter tortilla with bacon and honey on it. I get the individual packaged stuff. That's just one of my favorites. Honey Stinger is one of my favorites. They've got the waffles, Honey Stinger waffles, and little energy bites. I like those.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, I definitely went with Peak. So I got some better tasting dehydrated meals. Let's see, some gum. Need a little gum in there. Although it's, I always like the idea of it, but then I always have a reed in my mouth. So that's tough. I made some fruit leathers the other day. That is a wonderful treat.
That's smart.
Bumblebee tuna is one of my favorites. I love me some bumblebee tuna. And a little crackers in there. Yeah, it's great. But
they got those little lightweight tuna packs. It doesn't come in a can anymore. You might want to look at those. I've been using those on hunts the past year or so.
Huh.
It's even more lightweight than a can of tuna.
Huh. Well, yeah.
It goes out.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to look. Yeah, always some Wilderness Athlete and some... Yeah, camp meals in there. Plenty of bars and got to have do some nuts and trail mix of sort. Of course, you got to have good protein.
Mm-hmm.
So
I threw trekking poles in for a pack out.
Oh, absolutely. That is a
not
must.
Something I really want to carry in, but I know I'll love having them if we're hauling meat out. So.
Oh, absolutely. What are you doing for your sleep system tent tarp? What are you doing?
One man, small tent, and I gutted half of it out of there. It's just gonna be pretty much the rain fly, the footprint, and I'll use a trekking pole. So very lightweight, not as lightweight as you're going.
Yeah.
For some reason, I like to just close the door on a tent, like those sleep shelters.
Yeah.
I just see a bear coming and messing with me. I don't know. I've had bad luck with bears, and I
Yeah.
don't know. So.
Yeah, that I did just pick up that Stone Glacier Air, whatever. It's just a tarp, basically, for your trekking poles. That with stakes is 13 ounces. And then that is a way better affordable thing than the Big Agnes Onyx tarp. It's got one little carbon pole in it. That Onyx tarp's like $500, and this Stone Glacier thing is, it feels tougher, and it was 180. And then this Onyx tarp and stakes are 11 and a half ounces. So with the trekking poles, it's a definitely my lightweight option. Another little tip that I picked up when packing all this stuff is, if we don't have to worry about rain, keep things dry, which actually it could rain on Friday or something, I thought I saw. But to save room, I take my sleeping bag out of the bag, and all of these things that are in these individual little bags, and I just stuff it in the bottom of my backpack, and it forms a little bit better to the pack, instead of I've got a bag of this, a bag of this, a footprint of that, and then it just stuffs in there nicely. And then I know already I have sleep system all in the bottom. I've got my safety kit there and first aid kit down the bottom, and it makes for having a lot more room. And then when I get to camp, I ditch all those extra little bags that everything comes in, and I just have dry bags. So then sleeping bag will stay in a dry bag. And the dry bag is also the blow up bag for the for my air mattress from like the Big Agnes blow up thing. Yeah, I think that's
I do
about
think that they're going to be dealing with
you cut out, say that again.
weekend. So yeah,
Sorry.
I threw a pack cover there.
I think I missed all that except for pack cover.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, I think we're definitely going to be dealing with rain, so be ready for that.
Okay.
Just look at the weather right now, and it says fully cloudy Friday, Saturday. So that means
Oh.
I bet we get some precipitation up there. So
Okay.
it'll be good.
Yeah, I just spent way too much money on a titanium cup too to save a few ounces. This is stupid. And then on a new pillow too, because like my pillow right now doesn't have enough elevation to it, and I was like, ah, screw it. I'm gonna buy it. And some toilet paper. Got to have some toilet paper. My bathroom kit is got toilet paper, some wet wipes, and then hand sanitizer in it as well. But pretty sure
Here's another
that's
one. I got a mattress filler, like a lightweight portable pump that we can all use.
Oh, yeah. I've
I don't know
seen
if
those.
FlexSail makes it, but it'll fill your sleeping pad up real quick, save you a little time. It weighs like nothing. So
Yeah,
that's
I've
one
seen
thing
those.
I threw in there.
Be kind of cool.
Other than that, man, I got a cover for my arrows. I've had problems on backpack hunts where my arrows have fallen out and, things like that. So
Oh, sure.
just those covers, that protect your sight, protect your string, hold your arrows in place.
Yeah, I do
Um,
feel like I.
just, just more stuff, that I don't want to carry, but I have it. It weighs nothing. Might as well throw it on the bow.
Yeah. Yeah,
But
I feel like I've lost an arrow every year. This year I have a better quiver, so I think I'll be fine now. But that, if you're skimping on a quiver, that's a great way to lose an arrow. Or not, how you helping with that setup a little bit more. But well, I think we're good to go. I'm gonna get this thing published and out and in. I mean, we're leaving tomorrow, actually. So
Yeah, clock's ticking.
I got a lot of work to do. Dad just texted me while we're doing this, and he said, "Hey, I'm anything else you need before I'm about to leave?" And so, I just have one big thing totally in my way. This thing called work and wrapping up life around here to that's kind of a big thing too. You got someone watching your pups?
Yeah, I pretty much got that figured out. That's the tricky part is everyone is busy Labor Day weekend.
Oh
But
yeah.
I pretty much got that figured out. Right now I'm looking out the window, looking at the mountain that we are going up on, and yeah, it looks like you got to be half crazy to go up there, so that should keep us away from some people. So
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward
looking
to it.
forward to it.
We got a lot to do in the next couple of days, and I'm jacked we're going in a day early to not just claim a spot, but kind of get recovered from a little hike in there. So we'll be ready to roll for opening morning, be in them, ready to go. So hopefully a spot doesn't suck, and or we don't have to make any giant game plan changes, and we can just stick to plan A, because plan A is a pretty good one, I think.
Yep, sounds like a good time, and it's right around the corner, so.
All right, well, thanks for doubling up a prep call for our hunt as well as recording a podcast, and we'll see you in 2 days.
Yep, sounds good, man. Safe travels out here.
I see ya.
Land, but it ain't my ground. This is God's country.
Every once in a while, it's fun to go like just full-blown redneck on these fish.
This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.